Thanks, everybody, for listening to The Shore Thing today. It is March. This is March, March 15th. Warren and Ryan here with you. We'll have our picks for the NCAA tournament, March Madness, coming up with also some with picks for the first-round tournaments and some futures out there. There's also, I don't know if you've been taking a look at the Bovada specials pages, Ryan, but they have some interesting bets there.
I haven't taken a look yet. No, not yet.
Take a look. We'll get into some of those because they have, you could bet on how many games will go to overtime, all this stuff like that, but we'll get into that. And also lots of NFL news has come down the pipeline. There's a new commander out there, new deals, unretirement, lots of stuff out there. So that's what we'll have this episode. You can check us out Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And the iHeartRadio app under the podcast section. How's it? We have key sports coming in right now.
Definitely had a lull, and it's more than making up for it. I feel like right now with the lockout ending and free agent signing frenzy, all the NFL stuff going on. And obviously, you know, this is March. We're getting ready for March Madness. Some great tournament games. A lot of I feel like there was so many buzzer beaters this year. Maybe that's just every year, but, you know, exciting games. So yeah, we're hitting peak stride, of sports right now. Well, I wouldn't say peak, but you know, we're getting a lot of action out the gate right now.
Yeah. It's like the second best month, whatever. It's lots going on. Lots of variety is out there on the, out there right now. All right, we have, what do you want to start off with for, like, picks the weekend overall? What do you want to start off with the NCAA tournament?
Let's get right into it. Get into picks, I guess. I mean, everybody knows,
yes.
You know, you've filled out your bracket by now, I'm sure. If you haven't, what are you waiting for? I've filled out like 20 of them already. So, you know, I think that's where you got to go.
First question is did Taps play on Sunday night at the Silva household?
No, it did not, but it was, a tough night for sure. And we got through it together.
I will say I'm not, I don't really care about like, oh, this team deserves in, this team doesn't really deserve in, like that really doesn't care. But I will say it does feel kind of wrong. The Aggies aren't in the, like, even though as a person who laughs at the Aggies' misfortune, it does feel like they got kind of wrong not being in the tournament.
Yeah, no, they definitely did. You know, and I primed Jamie Ford even after they made a nice little run to the conference championship game. I was like, look, man, they got to win it to get in probably because I knew they were on the bubble. And then sure enough, we see that they, get left out in the dust. And, like I said, we got through it together as a family.
That's good. I was wondering about that. That's tough for them though, but, it is what it is. All right. So I don't have any picks for I have one pick for a first four game. I have the Bryant Wright State over. That is going to be 155, I think. Let's pull it up here. 155, I have that over. I always get a little nervous taking an over that high, especially in the tournament, but Bryant, highest scoring, they got the highest scoring player in the country, Peter Kiss. And I think, like, there's just going to be a lot of points, all the stats I've been looking at. This game screams points. Wright State's a home game. They're in Dayton. They're playing in Dayton. So I think this screams a bunch of points. So I got the over 155.
I like it. Bryant, they had a little brouhaha in their, conference.
The fans.
Yeah, the fans did. I don't know. Did you see the video of, I don't know if it was a guy or a girl just getting smoked by like a water bottle that kind of started it all? I mean, you want to talk about a headshot, like as clear of a headshot as you can get, like water bottle straight to the forehead. Just drop to the floor. I think that's what started it all. But yeah, they had a little excitement there. So I like that pick. They have some white dude on their team. I forget his name, but he has like you know, obviously they're going to have the play-in game and then maybe one more game after that. But, he, you know, if this was a little bit of a better team, he'd be like, who was the guy?
It's Peter Kiss.
Yeah, but who was the guy that was like the dude for Northern Iowa when they made a little run where he kind of became like the beloved
Al Farouk Manoche?
Yeah, he kind of has like that vibe to him of if they made a little bit of a run, he'd be you know, not to steal Dick Vitale's word, but a diaper dandy, even though I don't think he's a freshman, but a guy that everyone kind of falls in love with and is a storyline for the tournament.
I do have an NIT pick for tomorrow night as well.
I mean, well, let's go ahead and give it. I mean, we've all been sitting on the edge of our seat for that.
Virginia -1.5 against Mississippi State.
Okay.
But Mississippi State, it's at home. It's not very good. I just like Virginia against Mississippi State. And then I am thinking about taking the points with Texas State tonight against UNT, but I can't do that. I don't think Texas State's
State baseball is just absolutely rolling.
We're good. Yeah, they're good. They're good. I don't know how they did this. Oh, they faced Southern, I think, this weekend. Basketball. I said that they were touting that they had the longest win streak in college basketball in February, right?
Yeah.
And they lost in the first round. but of the conference tournament for the second year in a row. But that might be an under game tonight if you're listening before that. Texas State and North Texas. That's 118. All right. That's do you have any first four picks?
Yeah, I got Indiana laying the 3.5 as well. That's tonight. And then tomorrow I like Rutgers catching the 1.5 from Notre Dame.
I like Rutgers as well. Not as an official, but I like them in the to move on. All right, so games on Thursday we'll get after. I only have 3 picks right now on Thursday. And I'm really caught in a bind, I think, right now. I think Vegas is, I'm not happy with Vegas. Especially when it comes to the Providence-South Dakota State game. Like, Providence is a 2-point favorite.
Yeah.
As a 13 over a 4. And I don't like that, but Chris Velika tweeted this out that there's never been a 4 seed that has been like a 2-point favorite, the short of favorite. Both 4 seeds, which were 2.5-point favorites, lost outright. That was Vandy to Murray State in 2010, and then Dayton to Tulsa in 2003. So there is some history there, but the picks I have for on Thursday, I like Memphis -2.5, San Diego State -2 against Creighton, and Arkansas -5 against Vermont. You get into a thing where these favorites or these underdogs are so like so trendy. Vermont, oh, we've seen Vermont do it before, blah, blah, against Arkansas. I thought Arkansas, I know they ended up losing A&M and looked pretty bad on Saturday to A&M, but they look pretty good in their first tournament game. I think they're more athletic. I just think they got more talent than Vermont in that case. So that's why I like those 3 games. And I know the dogs were barking last week during conference tournament. And I think that's going to be a case again. But I just took 3 favorites. But man, I think like I want to take Richmond over Iowa. It's like 11. I think it's 11.5.
I'm looking at 10.5 right now.
10.5 right now. Like I think that's. I know Iowa's just played really well. They won the Big Ten tournament, and Richmond's coming in hot. I think like that. I think we're gonna get a lot of like we saw it all year. I was talking about it all year, just following college basketball from a little bit of afar, but like. Man, underdogs are covering their big spreads winning outright. Like, I think there's going to be some of that, maybe not in the first round, but when you get like power 5 against a really good group of 5 or like in the second round when it's, say it's Gonzaga and Memphis or North Carolina Baylor, if it's Arizona TCU, like any of those 1-9, like I think those games are going to be a lot closer just because of how things have gone this year in college basketball. And those teams have played well against, like, good teams.
No, 100%. No, I agree. You know, I always have the same ritual. Every year when I fill out a bracket, I fill out like one or two. The first one, I just go through and just, you know, off the rip, just pick teams. Boom, 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 boom. Second one, kind of do the same thing, mix in, you know, some teams that can make a little bit of run and then assess those. And then the third one is kind of like the real one that I fill out and follow of, you know, a mixture of both of teams I think can really make a run. You know, you always got to throw in like a 10 seed or 11 seed that you feel pretty good about. And there's a couple of them. You mentioned them. I feel really good about Richmond. I think Richmond could make a run to the Sweet 16. I'm kind of on the same thought process with you as far as Vermont, where, you know, they're kind of the trendy pick, but that's a tough first game against Arkansas. If it was like anybody else, like any of the other four seeds, other than maybe UCLA, I'd feel pretty good about them moving on. Cause they are a good team. They play some good basketball. They got some guys that can shoot it. But like you said, I think Arkansas is just kind of a more athletic team. They, you know, play a little bit bigger. So, you know, there's definitely some chances, like you said, especially in that, second round and maybe even the Sweet 16 of where we see some teams that, either cover or win outright. That's, you know, in other years, maybe that's not the case.
Yeah. One of the teams I like, I got last year, I think there's a lot of, comparison is Virginia Tech to last year, Oregon State. Remember when Oregon State ran through the Pac-12 tournament, they had to win to get in.
Yeah.
And Virginia Tech pretty much had to win the ACC tournament to get in. Now, Texas, they're the most Jekyll and Hyde team in America.
Yeah.
But I like whoever wins Texas, Virginia Tech, they're beating Purdue. Purdue's not very good. I'm not buying Purdue at all to make it to the Sweet 16. I'm also not buying, you know what? Add this on Thursday. Give me Longwood +17.5. You want to know why? You see this about Rick Barnes? His teams are 1-11-1 against the spread in their last 13 tournament games since Texas made the Elite Eight in 2008. And they have made it past the first weekend once in 9 trips. And they were knocked out in the second round in 2018 against the Vols, against Loyola. They covered, I think, against Wright State that first. That's probably his one cover when he was a 3 seed against a 14. But, like, Tennessee, they are not making it to the second weekend. So I like, for a future, a Michigan to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I have Michigan making a little run, too.
I was looking at some Sweet 16 futures right now or earlier, and to make the Sweet 16, Michigan is going to be +270. So they're favorites in the game against Colorado State, -2.5, as an 11 seed, and then they'll get Tennessee, who I think is just going to fold, or they would get Longwood. So I like the value there. Of them going to the Sweet 16 of +270.
No, yeah, we're in the same thought process there. I have them making a nice little run. They're getting a well rested Juwan Howard.
Yes.
And, you know, they play some good basketball. They get after a little bit. So getting to my picks for Thursday, I'm on Michigan -2.5. I got them covering, Memphis. I also have them laying the 2.5. Memphis is such an anomaly to me because, like, they're a good basketball team, but I just feel like they always just get, like, right to the edge, but can never, like, go past that, you know, of like being a really good team or like even winning their conference, things like that. So they, you know, I like them winning this game against Boise State. I don't know how much further I'm going to have them going, past that. So Memphis laying the 2.5. I like Richmond +10.5, against, Iowa. We talked about that. I like Marquette +3 against UNC, even though they're coming off a nice little victory of, you know, crushing Coach K's farewell tour, which was great. I like Creighton +2.5, and I like San Francisco +1.5. I think San Francisco beats Murray State outright. You want a weird story? Go check out San Francisco University's baseball coach. See what happened to that guy when he got some downtime. That's a wild story as well.
All right. That's another thing I don't like. I don't like that we're having a 7-10 mid-major matchup.
Yeah.
What are the others? What's Ohio State's a 7 seed? They're facing Loyola. Who's the other 7? I have that up. Like, why can we not get Michigan? Well, Michigan State's playing Davidson. Can we not get like USC, San Francisco, and then Murray State, like Florida?
Yeah.
Like, why can we not flip those around? We shouldn't have that. All right, to Friday's games. We go, and then we can get into like some futures and stuff like that. Friday, I got a little bit of a more card right now. I like USC -1.5 against Miami. I like Virginia Tech +1.5 against Texas. Iowa State +4 against LSU. That's because LSU has no coach. UAB +8.5 against Houston. Houston's down two of their best players, and they haven't really beaten any good teams this year. And UAB won Conference USA. And then I'm going to take TCU +1 against Seton Hall.
So I'm actually on the other side of that game. I like Seton Hall laying the 1 against TCU. I like Wisconsin laying 7 against Colgate. I'm actually going to take Davidson +1.5. It's either 1.5 or 2. I saw two different numbers against Michigan State. I think that has a 7-10 upset written all over it. You know, I was right there with you on the Houston UAB game. Even, you know, UAB to cover for sure, but maybe even – I mean, you know, we always have a 12-5 upset. I think that might be the one that we're looking at this year. Houston's very good, and they have a solid team. But like you said, they're down their two best players, and UAB is playing some pretty good basketball right now. So I think I'm not gonna. It's not an official pick, but put that in the tickler file. I like UAB, and I think I might like them to win outright. Going to the earlier games, I kind of was working backwards there. A lot of big spreads on Friday versus what we see on Thursday. I like Yale +15.5 against Purdue. See if the old Ivy League nerds can do a little something in the tournament. Not that they're going to win outright, but maybe make it a close game. I'm going to take Texas laying the 1.5. I don't feel good about it against Virginia Tech. I like Illinois laying 7 against, who are they playing? Chattanooga. And then
Illinois, yes.
Yeah, and then I also like Iowa State against LSU for the same reason you mentioned. They fired Will Wade after all this time. They finally fired him. I don't know how that number isn't closer to an even line, but I like Iowa State +4 against LSU.
One of the other things I forgot to add that I'm adding right now is Duke over 144 against Cal State Fullerton. The overs have hit the last like 7 games for Duke. The overs are just killing it. They haven't covered their last 4 games either. I might just bet against Duke every game in the tournament just for when Coach K loses, because they're not winning at all. And you know what? If you lose, hopefully they lose early. So you just, or they keep not covering against the spread, but, I think I might do that too, just for a little fun. But I like over 146 in the Duke game. So I got 10 picks right now out of the 32 games. Obviously, there'll be more coming down the pipe, but so far that's what I like so far. I like the most.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
All right, couple Sweet 16 things that I got. Like I said, Michigan making the Sweet 16. I like that at +270. I want to take TCU to make the Sweet 16 at +700. I know you're going to roll your eyes at that, but they're a good team, and they've beaten like good teams too. They've got size up front that I think could match Arizona. Doesn't Arizona have one of their guys hurt?
Yeah, their best player, Kerr Crissa.
Yeah, they've played well without him though. I mean, they won the Pac-12 tournament without him, but like I said, I think when you get in the second round, you're going to see, you could see that TCU 2 beat, I think they had the most impressive stretch of the season when they beat Kansas at home. Then they followed it up with a win against Texas Tech at home. And then I know, hey, hang the moral victory flag here, but they went to then Kansas like 4 days after they just beat Kansas and Tech and then only lost by 5 and probably should have won that game. Like, that's really an impressive stretch there. I like TCU potentially there to make the Sweet 16. I don't know if I can pull the trigger on it, but that would be +700. I think there's some decent value there.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're definitely one of those teams that gets after it. You know, I mean, like they're a a very athletic team. And like you said, that was probably one of the more impressive stretches we saw in college basketball this season, because those are, you know, we're talking about Tech and Kansas. They're top of the cream of the crop, top of the list there for the Big 12. And, you know, like you said, you're right, you know, moral victories, who cares? But to have that showing against Kansas when you're a team, TCU, I mean, they're probably what, like the fifth best team in the entire state of Texas, and Kansas are the big boys. And to go out there and beat them, beat Tech, and then have a close game, like you said, probably came, it came down to the end there too. I think a couple made extra buckets there at the end, obviously, and then they're right back in it. But, you know, so I don't hate it. I just, the thing that sucks for me right now is, look, I have Arizona winning it every year. I had them winning it last year, and they weren't even in the tournament. But this year, like, I feel really, really good about them winning it. But the problem is, so does everybody else. And I'm just like, you know, come on. The one year that, like, things are cooking, Tommy Lloyd has the boys playing just absolutely fantastic. Like you said, we were missing Kirk Crissa, our best player, with a sprained ankle. And Dalen Terry just absolutely put his nuts on UCLA's forehead on Saturday night to take that conference championship game. They're playing really good basketball. Like, when things are rolling for Arizona, like, I don't know if there's a better team in the country. I'm not just saying that. Like, if you watch them play, like, they are really, really good. So that's the kind of conundrum that I'm facing right now, is because Arizona, you know, they look very good. And this is probably the best I felt about them winning the tournament since probably the Ayton days. And the only problem is everybody and their mother is on Arizona as well. So, you know, kind of an issue there.
Can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Arizona is giving me Illinois vibes from last year.
Hey, that's fair.
And I'm not saying that didn't everybody love Illinois last year? I loved them last year. I was picking them to win. They lose in this. I'm not saying Arizona is going to lose in the second round, but they lost in the second round to Loyola. And also maybe it's just, I know Sean Miller's not the coach. I should probably not have the Arizona of being burned by them for X amount of years when my man Laurie Markkanen was there. Wasn't Tyler Johnson there? Some guy like those teams scarred from those teams.
No, I know it. The Aaron Gordon days, Laurie Markkanen, like I said, DeAndre Ayton, like all those teams, like you felt like, okay, this is going to be the year. When we haven't even made the Final Four, I think since 99 or 2001, something like that. So it's been a tough stretch. So I mean, you're right. You're exactly right. You know, any Arizona basketball fan feels the exact same way, because every year is like, okay, I think this is the year that we have it. You know, we had Raleigh Alkins a couple years ago. You know, it was where things really, really looked good. And then we just kind of would sputter out in the Elite Eight, I think was the farthest that Sean Miller made it, you know, a couple Sweet 16 losses. So I feel you.
All right. So, like I said, I don't think Purdue's making it to the Sweet 16. I don't know if these odds are too great or good enough to bet them to make the Sweet 16. Texas is plus 205 and Virginia Tech's plus 350. You're probably not going to get a better odds on Virginia Tech to make the Sweet 16, but Texas 205, I don't know. I don't know about that.
So I have two that I feel pretty good about. And then one that is kind of chalky, in the sense that I think everyone kind of has them going. So I actually have Richmond plus 650 to make the Sweet 16, as well as Creighton at plus 500. I think they're actually going to play each other if that plays out. So those two I like actually making the Sweet 16. And then, so those are the two that I feel good about, or excuse me, those are the two that I feel good about. And then the one that's kind of chalky is the Michigan plus 270 to make the Sweet 16.
I like that. And then the other one I think I might take a run at is UAB at plus 1,000.
That's not bad. Good value.
Because then who do they play in the second round? They would play Illinois in the second round. That would probably be a tough game. But, I like that. And then we also have the first five, or the first four. One of those teams usually makes it to the Sweet 16, or has a good chance to make it to the Sweet 16. Indiana is plus 1,000 to make the Sweet 16. Who do they play? They play Notre Dame, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they 70-1? They're 70-1. Oh, that's the Elite Eight. Sorry. Indiana to make the Sweet 16. Sorry, I was on the wrong page. Plus 700 to make the Sweet 16. Notre Dame's 11-1 to make the Sweet 16. And then you have Wyoming. They are going to be 16-1, and they are facing who's the 12 seed they're facing? No, they're facing Indiana and Wyoming, and then it's Notre Dame and Rutgers. Rutgers would be the other one. They're 850-1. So that might not be bad to pick one of those teams, whatever, and then see if they can, after tonight, I would say, wait, and then they reset the odds, and you can get the odds there on the Sweet 16 teams for one of those four teams to make it. Because there's been, they at least win one game. And I think Rutgers, I like them. Whoever's playing, I'll say this, whoever is playing Alabama, I want them added to my card because Alabama's losing in the first round.
All right.
I'm not sold on them. They are hot and cold shooting, and they are cold this year more than they're hot. So add that. Whoever's facing Alabama, loss. Book that. All right. What is the, I guess, what's the Final Four? Do you want to go Elite Eight, Final Four? What do we got? And then we'll,
I'd say let's just jump to Final Four.
Okay.
Go ahead. You lay it out first.
I have a Gonzaga, Kentucky, Kansas, and Villanova. Wow. And then a Villanova, Kentucky, and Kentucky winning it all.
So I have Gonzaga, UCLA, and I got Arizona, Auburn. I got Arizona and Gonzaga playing in the final. I know Gonzaga's never made it to a final before. Might not even make it to the Final Four. But I think they make a run this year. And then I got Arizona winning it all, as I said.
Yes, as you had said there. Not surprising at all.
No. Talk about futures. Most outstanding player. Can I take a future on Drew Timmy not winning it? Because that guy stinks.
What? I was looking at most outstanding player, like those. What do you think Drew Timmy's odds to be most outstanding player are?
Plus 900.
Oh yeah, you're looking at it.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it not to win it? Those, I'm surprised it's like that high, like.
Yeah.
Plus 900 for a most outstanding. Chet Holmgren, I mean, Chet, that name just, I still can't get over that. you know who I like? This Oscar, Tshwabi.
Yeah.
He's a stud. Like, yeah. He's really, really good. He is really, really good. 15-1. If Kentucky wins, he's probably going to be the guy. He is really good. I remember that game against Arkansas. He was balling out. He's really good.
Yeah, no, I mentioned earlier Dalen Terry. He's 100-1 plus 10,000 right now. I'd sprinkle a little ashtray money on him to win it if Arizona wins it all, because like I said, he's played really well. He's not even, Kirk Carissa, our best player, who, you know, many consider our best player. He's not even the best or has the best odds for Arizona to win most outstanding.
He's got third best odds.
Yeah, third best, which is, you know, I wonder if they're planning on him missing a couple games or something like that, which I haven't heard. They haven't said one way or the other if he's going to be able to play that first round game or not. But either way, so Dalen Terry, like I said, just an athletic freak, really good when he has the ball in his hands, especially with Kirk Carissa being out, he kind of becomes one of the main ball handlers. So you give me a guy plus 10,000, let me go ahead and take him.
Yep. All right. So here are some of those special bets we have. How many bad beats will occur in the round of 64? And a bad beat is what they consider a basket is defined as if the last basket is scored with 5 seconds or less in the game, and that score would cause any of the opening spreads or total wagers to change from winning wagers to losing wagers. And it gives you like the opening lines in there. Mm-hmm. Zero. One is plus 170. Two is plus 550. Three is plus 1,000. Four is plus 1,500. Five is 22-1. And then six is 30-1.
So you have to pick the exact number. It's not even like an over-under type situation.
It's the exact number.
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah.
What was the zero you cut out on the zero?
-125.
I mean, that's terrible. Why would you take that?
And then one is plus 170. I think you put a little, like, you put ashtray money on 4, 5, and 6. Those are 15-1, 22-1, and 30-1. And you hope you get a bunch of them.
Yeah, see, I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, I was thinking 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 100%.
3 is 10-1. So why not? You put a little on that and just hope you get,
you just hope you get one of them.
No. One of them, because there's going to be more than two bad beats.
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
Or are we just talking ourselves into it? Like, we watch college basketball. You don't even need to watch college basketball. Watch Scott Van Pelt's Bad Beat segment in college basketball. You don't even know what. Just watch that segment and how many bad beats there are in a week. And that's even, they're only picking the best. There are other worse ones there.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, how is that not? I mean, I can't remember last year how many bad beats I had. I swear to God, in the first round, I was just on every wrong side of a bad beat.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that. We have the other one is how many three one seeds making it's plus 450. That's to the final four. I think over 1.5 one seeds at plus 110. I think that's pretty solid odds. I think I think there's going to be two. I think we're going to get a good amount of chaos this year. There's going to be a good amount of upsets, but like we saw this last year, obviously it's different. Last year we get the real tournament. We're on the regional sites. Not everybody's in Indiana. There's fans. Full capacity, so we get the real feel of the tournament back, which is great. But I still think we'll get 2-1 seeds in the final four. So now here, this one is close to my heart. Now, I've been terrible at it. OU Texas Tech might have scarred me from betting overtime games, like in the second half going into overtime, because that was horrific on Saturday night. No, that was Friday night. But over two games going to overtime plus 105.
Over two? Yeah, give me that.
Yeah. Over two. And then you could get, hey, you want to get a little frisky with it. That's just the first round. That's in the front of 64 games.
Yeah.
Then you could get, will a game go into double overtime? Over a half is plus 135.
Oof, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either. You can get, now that is for any game in the NCAA tournament. So you got any games going into double OT?
Oh, okay. I thought that was first round.
No. This they changed that one up from the first one. I need a little more juice on that. How many games will go into overtime the entire tournament is 3.5. That's minus 110. I think that is a little. I think we're going to get more than that. But
yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I need some more juice on that as well.
I need more juice on this, but it would be electric to bet. This should be 10-1, not 6-1, maybe even 20-1. How many games will go into triple overtime, over a half, plus 600? How that is plus 600? They are stealing your money on that.
Yeah.
Why is
that? Give me at least plus 1,000. Yeah. Like you said, 10-1. Yeah, absolutely. Give me 10-1.
Give me plus 1,000 on that. Those are the only other, there's some interesting ones. The highest point total in the round is 64, 97. Biggest margin of victory in the round of 64 is 38.5. That's minus 110. That's pretty much all the ones I'm seeing right now. Like, you could bet on they have – this is also horrible odds, too. Will a 14, 15, or 16 seed win a game in the round of 64? Yes is minus 130. No is even money. So they're saying that there will be a 14, 15, or 16 seed that's won.
Yeah.
And of those seeds – I don't know. That seems like horrible odds.
Like, look, I'm staying woke on some of these books. I think with the advent of more casual gamblers or more guys.
They're just trying to steal money from
you. 100%. With the whole, you know, shout out, you know, obviously, you know, kind of big Barstool guy, but all the people that they're catering to, which is the wannabe degenerates or the wannabe guys that are putting $5 on every game, you know, on the sheet. And just hoping that you hit a couple or putting 8-game parlays together. Shout out, Calvin Ridley. I think the lines are getting bumped down a little bit and the money's getting bumped down a little bit to, cater to those guys a little bit more and steal their money.
For sure. And this is like Bovada. I'd say they're the most well-known offshore book.
Yeah.
Because still a ton of plays are doing it. Will a 15 or 16 seed win a game? Yes is plus 225. I know you got 8 chances, but come on.
Yeah.
Like, it's fairly rare for a 15 seed. I know it's happened more recently, or regularly more recently, at least for a 15, but come on.
100%.
Like, what is going on there?
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. I didn't really mean to get in the weeds on all those, but just the overtimes and that. Those are the specials that they have going on.
Love it.
All right, anything else NCAA tournament-wise, or is that what we've got
I think I covered. Yeah, I think we covered all our bases there.
I think we did as well with our upsets, everything like that. Do you, is your, what, if you have, like, your favorite upset play, what is it?
My favorite upset play.
I'm not counting Michigan because they're favored as a as
correct.
A...
Correct. Probably I might go Davidson against Michigan State.
All right.
Either actually no, my favorite is Richmond. Richmond over Iowa. That's my favorite.
My favorite
upset.
Gotcha. Mine is going to be I'm going to take Iowa State.
Yeah,
I mean they're my favorite.
Yeah.
Because they're plus +4. Like, I was going to take Virginia Tech. They're plus +1. I mean, that's a toss-up.
Yeah.
I will say, so many people love Loyola College against Ohio State. I'm not saying I disagree with them, but when there's so many people that love it, you might want to jump on the other side.
Agreed.
Ohio State's been having a lot of injuries, and they're played Friday, so they could get some guys back. That's why they kind of struggled lately. But like, when so many people are on one side, that's when you need to jump on the other side.
And then fantasy, that's the conundrum I'm facing with Arizona right now.
Yeah. Well, that's just to win it all. But
right.
Still.
No, I know what you mean. Kind of the same, in the same vein.
Yes. In the same vein there for, sure. All right. Over to the NFL, I think. Lots of action there. Where do we start? Do we start with the man that cucked the bracket talk on Sunday night?
Yeah, let me go ahead and start there. And let me wish you and our social media manager a big hearty suck my dick from the back. I told
you
whether
retired.
Or not. But he no. It doesn't count. Doesn't count. He's playing this year. It doesn't count. I told you he was going to play this year. Ryan was right the whole time.
But I said I think he's thinking about retiring, and you said no chance on that.
And I was correct.
He did retire. He retired for 40 days.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
We could both be right. He retired for Lent. He couldn't even make it all a Lent. He retired for a Lenten period of 40 days and was like, you know what, I'm coming back.
He fasted from the NFL. He fasted from the NFL for 40 days. That's what we'll call it. It was a fast. Yes.
Well, I think we could both – I knew you were going to start this off. but I think we could both claim that we were right.
Okay.
He did retire. You said there was no chance he was going to retire, and then he ended up coming back.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to say I was right. If you want to say you were right, that's fine, but all I know is I was right for sure.
Again, I think we could both be right in this situation because he did put out an – when you put out an 8-slide retirement Instagram, that is retiring. Like, are done. And did you saw the Cristiano Ronaldo video, right?
Yeah.
When I saw that on Saturday, 100% knew he was coming back.
Yep. Yeah, no, I saw the same thing. But see, that I didn't know if he kind of gave the – well, I didn't know if that was – like, I knew he was coming back. But from the way he reacted, I was like, well, I think he's trying to orchestrate a deal to go somewhere else.
No, I totally do. I 100% think – I don't think he's – I still think he's trying to orchestrate a deal.
Yeah.
Because why would he go to Manchester United for a game? I don't know. He's a big, I don't think he strikes me as a big soccer guy. He's going to talk to the Glazers who own the Bucks. Like, why would he go there?
True.
Unless, like, I know Harry Kane has said for Tottenham, they were playing Tottenham, that he likes Tom Brady to meet him or whatever, see Ronaldo. Okay. But, first of all, Tom, tell us you're going to the game so we could bet Cristiano Ronaldo to score like 2 goals because he's going to want to show out in front of you. Like, help us out next time, okay? The guy's been in terrible form lately; hasn't scored in weeks, and he's going to drop a hat trick when you're there. Come on, like, help us out. But oh no, Florio from Pro Football Talk, he's saying that he's trying to orchestrate his way to San Francisco.
Correct.
And I mean, I think he retired so he could try and go play somewhere else. And it just didn't work.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he might still be, like you said, he might still be trying to do that. But that was my initial reaction when I saw the video.
I'm also I'm so over him too. Like, if you're gonna
if you're gonna put out that statement, you got to stay retired.
Yes, well, you got to stay retired at least till training camp. Like, he didn't even make it to the new league year.
Yeah,
he didn't make it to the league the new year of the league.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm so over him. So over him. Just like play, retire, whatever. All right, the other, then we let's just keep going with the quarterbacks. Commander Carson in town.
Fuck.
The thing, he might be the second best quarterback in the division.
No, yeah, that's the problem.
I think the biggest thing is that, yeah, that's a problem. Well, that's a problem for the division. That's not really a problem for Washington, or that's more of a Giants, Eagles, Washington problem.
True, yeah.
I think the biggest thing about the whole trade is that they gave up 2 third-round picks. Didn't they swap seconds too?
No, it was 2 third-round picks, and depending on his playing time, one of the third rounders can become a second rounder.
Oh, okay. I thought they swapped seconds.
Yeah, no.
But like they gave up 2 third-rounders, and then they're paying the full $28 million. Like, there's got to be some.
That's the part that sucks.
I don't understand this. So we're paying $28 million, and we're giving you 2 third-round picks. Potentially a second round pick. That is the thing I don't get. Like, how, it's like what the Browns did with Amari Cooper. Like, we'll take the full salary, but we're giving you a fifth and we're swapping six. Like,
yeah.
How does that happen?
No, agreed. And especially because, you know, Washington had a good chunk of, cap space coming into before this trade. And then now that ate up, I think, like 80% of it, 90% of the cap space that they had. You know, so yeah, that the biggest issue there is, well, the biggest issue is that Carson Wentz is now a Commander. The second issue is that we're paying him the full $28 million. Now, I could say, look, I've gone through all the stages of grief since this trade was announced. And so, you know, for a starting quarterback, like the money that starting quarterbacks are getting paid, like it's definitely a bargain for sure. No doubt. Now, again, how quality is he of a starter? That will be, you know, yet to be seen. Now on the other hand, look, I talked myself into Fitzpatrick. I was all aboard the Heineke train. So I think it's only fair that I give Wentz a shot. But when this trade first got announced, this was worst case scenario. It was 100% worst case scenario. I was more on board with signing Trubisky, maybe even Marcus Mariota, a guy that can move a little bit back there. And so when I saw Carson Wentz, that was worst case scenario. Cause I knew that's exactly what was going to happen. You know, when we weren't able to get Russ, obviously Aaron Rodgers went back to Green Bay. He was never coming to Washington anyway. But not only do we trade for Carson Wentz, this is what happened. We tried to get two of the hotter girls to come with us to prom. They found better dates. And so we got the Duff to come to prom with us. And then 3 or 4 days later, the hot popular chick that's kind of a little crazy, Deshaun Watson, her and her boyfriend break up, and we already got a date. We're stuck with our date now. We can't go after her and go get her for our date. So now Deshaun Watson's going to be available. And so that's the part that sucks as well, is now we're completely out in the Deshaun Watson, sweepstakes. And so it's been bad all the way around. I'm trying to talk myself into Carson Wentz. Look, if I'm being completely honest, he's probably the best quarterback we've had in the last 10 years. So it's like, you got to give the guy a shot. And everyone's making the case that Terry McLaurin's the best wide receiver he's ever worked with. That's all fine and dandy, but we don't have an offensive line. We just lost our all pro guard. He went to Jacksonville. A guy that has injury histories playing on that shit field that we got, with no protection up front. So it's going to make for an interesting year. If we finish 6-11, 7-10, I think that's a win.
What field did Carson Wentz double sprain his ankles on?
Was that at home? I don't know if it was in
he might do it again on that field. Like, he might be the first person to double sprain ankles twice.
He might double sprain ankles and double ACL at the same time.
Yeah, he could. He might do that. And, he might do that, but, I don't think Russell Wilson was ever going to Washington, though.
No, well, because they're in the NFC, the Seahawks made it a priority to get him out of the NFC, which, look, I totally understand. I totally get. That's fine. But yeah, I mean, that's the other thing too, is Washington fans really got to come to the senses of this is not a desirable spot for free agents to come. Like, whether it's a free agent or whether it's a quarterback that's able to pick where they want to go, via trade. This is not a desirable spot to go. So anytime that you feel like you have your name in the hat to go, for a big time free agent or quarterback, it's never going to be Washington.
Well, it's a desirable place to go if you give them the most money.
True. Very true. Like, and we've done that tons of times.
Yes.
Shout out Albert Haynesworth.
The Browns have done that a lot of times too. Now maybe perception is changing with the Browns, but like there's a big debate going on of does Deshaun Watson want to come to Cleveland or not? Clearly he's thinking about it if he's taking a meeting with the Browns today. Like, yeah. He's got a deposition today too. And I would say that legal issues are more important to him than finding out where the next football team is. But if he's got a deposition this morning and then he's got a meeting with the Browns, I would say, you know what? That means he's fairly interested because he wouldn't waste his time meeting with you. Mm-hmm. So there's at least some interest about that. One of these guys I went to high school with in Cleveland was like, what don't you understand that Deshaun Watson doesn't want to come to Cleveland? I go, he's having a meeting with them tomorrow. Like, he's met with three teams. Your hat is in the ring. Why? Like, what don't you understand about it? He goes, he just doesn't want to come here. I don't know what you're looking at, dude, but I'm looking at that Jimmy Haslam's plane is going to Houston today. And his plane was in Clemson like 3 weeks ago. I assume to talk to Dabo Sweeney and everybody at Clemson about what type of guy Deshaun Watson is. So they're at least kicking the tires. And then there's some reciprocation from Watson of, yeah, I might be interested in playing there. So not really seeing that he doesn't want to play for the Browns thing being true. Now, do the Browns get Deshaun Watson? I don't know. I would say of the Saints and the Panthers, Browns probably have the best team of them, but there's also in the AFC. Do the Texans want to keep trading them in the AFC? Not that they're going to be any good, but they at least got a seat at the table, and that's something you can ask for.
If they make a move for Deshaun, I mean, the move's got to involve Baker, wouldn't you agree?
So there is, I would have to include Baker, or that they have a deal ready to go for Baker that they're just waiting to see if they get Deshaun. So the Tom Brady coming back hurts the Browns because it seemed like the Bucs were really intrigued about Baker. There were a lot of winds swirling about Baker going to Tampa. And then Brady comes back, and that kind of kills it because they're not going to him announcing saying I'm playing for the Bucs. That kills pretty much anything for Baker there. But I know the Colts are still looking for a quarterback. They got rejected. You can ship them to the Colts. I would assume that they have a deal waiting if they get Watson or Baker goes in the trade to Houston and they then trade him somewhere else.
Baker to Tampa Bay, Brady to San Francisco, Garoppolo to Indianapolis. Three team trade.
Would have to be. Oh, a separate trade? Correct. Make it a four and throw Watson to Cleveland. Just an NBA mega trade.
There you go. Yeah, Watson to Cleveland, Baker to Tampa, Brady to San Francisco, Garoppolo to Indianapolis.
If there was an NFL, like, four-team mega quarterback trade like that, Twitter would be, like...
It would break.
It would break. Because we see the NBA three-team big trades. We never see a three-team deal in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. I was thinking that today or yesterday that in recent years we've seen a lot more player movement in the NFL than we have previously. I feel like there's a lot of guys that are switching teams. Normally it was like, you know, guys were sticking around for a long time with the teams that drafted them or what have you. But I feel like there's been, you know, maybe it's just recency bias or I'm just paying a little bit more attention. I don't know. But I just feel like there's a lot more bigger free agent signings in the NFL, much like the NBA or the MLB, you know, than there were previously.
I think people spend more, and it's also, too, like, look at the teams that did a lot of deals yesterday. It was, like, the Jaguars.
Yeah. Shout out Christian Kirk getting the absolute bag. Like, yeah. What? Friend of the show. Yeah. But, I mean, he's now the third highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Never had 1,000 yards receiving in the league. I know. Whew.
And then Zay Jones getting, like, $10 million a year.
Yeah.
For 3 for $30, that's a lot for a nice guy gets, what? 50 yards a game, 60 yards a game, a nice piece.
And it's usually like a one or two catches.
Yes.
Because he's a straight line guy.
But like yesterday, the bad teams, like they're like, I will say this, not to bring it back to the Browns, but you're talking about trades and stuff in the NFL. Like the Browns today traded Mack Wilson for Chase Winovich, both players to the Patriots, both players that were pretty much done where they're at instead of that's like an MLB, NBA trade. Yeah. Of, hey, both of these guys, they need a change of scenery. We'll just trade for each other. Like, that's again, that's something we haven't seen. Just a trade, like a straight player trade.
Yeah,
usually
no,
there's
no
like a pick
involved,
in or whatever.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
Yeah. What the other stuff? Mitch going to the Steelers. Here's the thing about Trubisky. I was a Trubisky guy. I know he's from Cleveland. That's probably why I like the guy. But he did have like torn labrum. Did take the Bears to the playoffs with Matt Nagy in his last year. All that stuff. But it is funny. Like Mariota, who I think is better than Mitch, and has done more than Mitch, in the playoffs. But like you go sit behind Josh Allen, you're like, all right, this guy. You know what? We're gonna bring him in to be a starter. Like he didn't play last year at all.
Correct.
And now he's like who could potentially make him better, Brian Daboll, is now with the Giants in that system. So he's going to a different system. Like unless you run that exact system or have been like under Daboll to get that, like I don't think the results are going to be what you're expecting.
No, and you're right, because, you know, I was having the same conundrum myself of wanting Mitch. It's like, well, wait, I mean, it's a perfect example of like when a coach is fired from a team and he doesn't go right back into coaching. He like sits out a year or two and then all of a sudden the media and fans tacked on like another 100 wins that this coach had and he's the greatest coach that we've ever seen. Why isn't he coaching? Kind of the same thing happened here with Mitch where it's like he wasn't a starter. Some of the limited action we saw, he looked pretty good. And like you said, he did have some success with the Bears team that had no business being successful. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've got some good weapons there in Pittsburgh. They just don't have an offensive line. They got a good running game, got some, you know, wide receivers that can, you know, make some plays for him. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe he'll have a breakout year and all he needed was a little bit of change of scenery and, you know, sit back for a year and learn a little bit. But no, I agree. And reports were that it came down to the Steelers and Giants. You kind of wonder why he didn't go to the Giants unless they couldn't, you know, maybe they didn't, guarantee that he'd be the starter. So, you know, maybe, cause I got to assume he's the leader in the clubhouse to be the starter for the Steelers.
You got to think he's better than Daniel Jones, but they might want to say, hey, let's see what he's got.
Yeah.
But he's way better than, Mason Rudolph, I would have to say.
And Dwayne Haskins.
And Dwayne Haskins, who they also just gave a deal there. But, the Cowboys have made some moves. They traded, they're on a fire sale, I think.
Yeah.
Cooper, as we said, has got the whole thing about, boy, that Dak contract, we said it right when they signed it. I know a lot of people said it too, but boy, that really is just really screwed up the team. And like they're taking a step back this year. They're still, as of right now, I would say the favorites to win the NFC East, but it's March. But like they are just kind of reshuffling. They're subtracting and hoping to add. Like I wouldn't be shocked. Like wide receiver in the first round, I would say has to be on the table. I don't know. They're Lyle Collins on the market. Like you got beat because your offensive line was horrible. And now you're going to trade one of your better offensive linemen or like that. Their moves and the whole Zeke contract doesn't. It really stems from the Zeke contract is what they're doing.
Yeah, 100%.
We got the Jerry Lovechild going on right now, which was, I'm telling you what, the fact that we didn't find out Jerry Jones had a Lovechild until 2022, credit to him. Like, I'm surprised we didn't find out about that wave like 10 years ago. I mean, she's 20, 25, I think, 26. I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Without that coming out.
Definitely a money grab there for her, but
well, she already has the money. She's got the trust.
I thought that's what she was suing for.
No, she already has a trust. She got a trust when she turned 22, 26, and she's about to turn 28. What she's suing for is that she cannot tell anybody who her father is. Oh. And so when people ask her like, "Oh, who's your dad? What did your dad do?" She can't say anything. So she just wants to be able to, not that she's going to blab out my dad's Jerry Jones all the time or whatever, but she just wants to be able to tell some people who the father is. She told the only time she told anybody who her father was in the Dallas Morning News article was when she got a job at the White House. She told the FBI when they were interviewing her who her dad was, and they asked who her parents were, and she had to tell the FBI for security clearance that her dad was Jerry Jones.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that. She's definitely told numerous people. You're telling me she hasn't been out? She wasn't out of the bars, had, you know, one too many margaritas and let it slip that Jerry Jones was her dad? Yeah, I call bullshit on that.
Okay, maybe. Well, that's what she, that's fine. But then if she told anyone, then they could go to anybody and then she would be out of her trust. I don't know. That's what she said. Because then the thing of it is, if she told anybody found out, then they lose all their money.
Yeah.
And they were on she was on some reality show. Did you know that?
No.
She was on Big Rich Texas. Is that a show? Big whatever?
Yeah, maybe. That sounds like a TLC
show. Or an A&E show or something like that. Yeah. And they said they just said that her mom and her was like rich mother daughters. And they said, how do you make your money? And they just said they had trust fund.
Which, not a lie.
Not a lie at all. But you got that going on. Like, and the other thing too about this story, Jerry, how many NDAs do you think he signed in his life? I mean, I tweeted out 15 and a half. That seemed kind of low.
I felt like you could probably, you know, fill up one sideline of the Cowboys stadium with the NDAs that he's probably signed or dished out.
Yes. So he's got that. But the thing that is really, like, sad about that whole story is that he's never even, like, he refuses to meet her at all. Like, he doesn't want anything to do with her. And I'm not saying you have to strike up a relationship, but just to, like,
acknowledge
it's kind of it's like a dick move. You don't even just meet her once. Like, that's a bad, I think that shows what a bad, like, the character of Jerry. Obviously, he's a wild card. Like, that shows me all I need to know about him. Like, okay, look, people have children out of wedlock. It happens. Again, I'm not saying that's right, but it happens. And just to not even, like, be willing to at least meet her, that's sad. Sad for him, and it's sad for also the daughter who wants to meet her dad.
No, yeah, I mean, mentally, that could really screw some people up. So, yeah, no, I agree with you there. But getting back to the on-the-field stuff, you know, you talked about that the Dak contract is what's screwing up. It's 100% that Zeke contract. I mean, they're paying him $19 million this year, and Amari Cooper's contract was $20 million. Now, I think they're probably overpaying a little bit for Amari based off the production they were getting, but then they turn around and hand Gallup a nice little deal there. They re-signed DeMarcus Lawrence.
Torn ACL, too.
Right, they re-signed DeMarcus Lawrence. They're bringing back Randy Gregory. They're going to have to pick and choose where they spend their money. We knew this was coming down the pipeline. They kind of knew it. They're kicking the can down the road, a little bit. The biggest mistake was giving Zeke that contract. And I think they're really feeling it right now. Because they're definitely going to regress. Zeke hasn't been anywhere near the player that they handed that contract to since he's got it. And, now you lose, you know, arguably your top wide receiver. Obviously CeeDee Lamb's been great. But, again, like you said, Lyle Collins, he's going to be gone. So that offensive line automatically just got worse there. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this NFC East plays out with these teams.
Well, yeah, and Tyron Smith, he looked pretty shaky.
Yep.
And I wouldn't call him to be really up there. And like, you can't even cut, you can't cut Zeke this year because he's 30 million on the dead cap.
Yeah.
Last year was a dead cap of 36. Like, I think Amari's dead cap was, well, it wasn't, it's not that bad. I think they had an out for him or whatever, but like, next year, so you cut, I think this is going to be Zeke's last year as a Cowboy.
Gotta be.
You cut him after this year. He's $11 million on the cap, on the debt. That's a dead cap of 11.8. Or you'll wait another year till he's a $6 million on the dead cap, but just gotta take the dead cap, hit of 11, you free up $5 million in space and move on, and you can draft running backs later on. Like, one of my buddies texted me, I was like, man, the Dak and Zeke contracts really killed him. We've seen the going rate for quarter. Like, do you want to be in the situation of Cleveland, Washington, Indianapolis? I would say Minnesota. What they got to do with what they just gave an extension. But Cousins, you're kind of always trying to upgrade. Yeah. Tennessee, you're potentially trying to upgrade. Like, do you want to be in that realm? Or, you know what? I like Dak. I think you just got to pay him and live with what happens. Like, before he got injured this year, he was looking like he was going to be the MVP of the league, and you hope that can come back next year. So when they say, oh, the Dak contract, but I disagree on that. It's all the Zeke deal, because for a quarterback – you are locked in at the quarterback position. You know what you have, and you're not going to be playing musical chairs trying to find something better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for a while there, everyone was kind of following the Seattle recipe for success of get a draft a young, good quarterback and then build a team around him while he's still on his rookie deal. Well, hey, guess what? It ain't that easy to find a good young quarterback that can come in and win games off the rip, you know, as soon as he steps foot on the NFL field. So now we're seeing pay the quarterback. And I think the new recipe for success is going to kind of follow, not even what the Buccaneers did, but more so what the Rams are doing, where it's like, just trade away all your compensation for some big time stars and see if you can make a run at it. Cause if you win one Super Bowl, you're good. Your franchise is good for at least another 10 years, you know, cause you always have that to fall back on. So. I think unfortunately enough for the Cowboys though, they're kind of stuck in this purgatory right now, and they're going to be stuck in purgatory for the next season or two, you know, until they're able to offload that Z contract and be able to have some mobility one way or the other in the with the cap.
Yeah, and well, you could also, I think obviously the ideal thing is still having the quarterback on the rookie deal, because look at what the Bengals did and go look at what the Chargers did.
No doubt, no doubt.
But then, yes, the second thing is, like, that the when's the time to strike to make a quarterback deal?
Yeah.
Then you trade the ass, like, you trade your assets.
What sucks for teams is it seems like the next quarterback deal always resets the market.
Well, that's what happens when you got a really good quarterback.
No, I know, but I mean, that's, it's just, it's, you know, not that I'm, you know, crying for these owners, but it's you know, just as far as a fan perspective, being able to move one way or the other, make some moves with the cap. I wish they could go no cap in the NFL. No cap.
I mean, then the imagine the bidding war, that imagine how much money the Cowboys would have tried to pay Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Or anybody would have tried to pay Aaron Rodgers. It would have been pretty crazy. But then you run into what kind of what you're seeing in baseball of, do you want your owners to spend that much? And that the NFL owners aren't going to do that because they know what they have set to spend.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty much it. Baseball. Some trades have gone down. We got Isaiah Kiner Falefa for the Rangers got traded twice in like 12 hours, 24 hours. I don't understand what the Braves. So you got the face of your franchise for like what, 10 years, 8 years, and you just, you win a World Series with them and then you kick them to the curb? That doesn't make any, because you don't want to pay them? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. No, that's a wild move. I wanted the Yankees to make a move for Matt Olson. I think his bat in Yankee Stadium would just be unreal, especially that right-handed heavy lineup right now. But yeah, so, you know, as a Yankee fan, we're setting our sights on Freeman or Rizzo to play first base for us. But yeah, kind of a wild move. You know, especially because I don't know when Acuna is coming back. I think he's still going to be out for a couple months.
He claimed, I saw a video of him in batting practice. Now, it's only batting practice, but he claimed he's back. He just launched one out to left field in batting practice, and he just claims, he says, I'm back.
Huh. Okay. Well, there you go. Maybe they can set like a beer league softball rule for him, where if he hits a dong, he doesn't have to run the bases. He just has to go touch first and he can go back to the dugout.
Look, I don't know when he's going to come back. I'm just saying that's a video I saw. Now I would assume.
No, yeah.
I would assume he's going to miss the start of the season. Who knows? But he was taking batting practice. They're all laughing as he just roped a couple out there and he's walking off, tossing the bat away, saying, I'm back.
Yeah.
So. Who knows? But there's also not been that much, like, baseball player movement so far.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed in that. Like, I thought deals were going to be flying in left and right. There's not been a lot of action going on.
Not yet. No, that's for sure. And we've kind of seen that, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about the NFL, or what I was talking about, where we've seen a lot of player movement in the NFL. The MLB, where, you know, the hot stove used to be, you know, deals, you know, flying all over the place. Players switching teams, trades getting made. And now, you know, even pre, you know, like last season and a couple seasons before, pre-COVID and pre-lockout, a lot of the big time free agents were signing like a week before spring training, or even like 2 or 3 weeks into spring training. We've seen kind of these, not necessarily holdouts, but just, I don't know if it's guys trying to make sure they find the right spot, or owners and GMs waiting to make a deal to see if it's actually the guy they want. So I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, I agree. I feel like they're, as soon as that lockout ended, I thought there were going to be guys, you know, switching teams and deals getting signed left and right. I guess that's just not going to be the case.
I guess not. I guess they got to wait. I guess they're going to wait a little bit, but all right, that's going to do it for us on the Sure Thing.
We forgot to talk about hockey.
Oh yeah. What's going on? Bet the overs. Overs are hot.
Overs are hot. The overs are hot.
That was talking hockey. That was talking hockey. One thing I forgot to mention. Are you aware of your Toffees?
Of my who?
Your Toffees Everton?
Oh no, we're not a Toffee anymore.
You're not right when they get in a relegation battle, you're off the wagon.
No, when Ronaldo made the switch over to Man United.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because let me tell Everton, big relegation fight right now.
Yeah, no. I saw the opening, I jumped off, and now we're celebrating hat tricks.
Yeah, his first hat trick in a while. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you then.